Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do. Put on the kettle, make a little brew. That'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, nearly the end of August. Kids go back to school next week in England. I think some of them went back today. A lot of them started today in America. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, one of the great things when we've been doing the shows a number of years that I has is to get authors back. Become friends, you know, and they come on the show, new book every year or what have you, and they come back and catch up with what's been going on and everything like that. And interestingly, I was talking to my guest before the show started, and we're saying we might not have spoken last year or something because of the COVID or something like that. It might be the last time we spoke, but it doesn't matter, because it's always a pleasure speaking to my guest today. What can I tell you about him? He is an author of nearly a dozen best-selling novels, ecologist, war and human rights journalist, award-winning poet, international energy expert, and he's travelled a bit, he's climbed a few mountains, and he's walked a few miles, and he's come a long way since writing books about holiday trips and stuff like that, basically when it started. And one of the things I love when this guest is on the program is he always is ahead of the news. He always has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world, and you know, what he's written about is now in the news, sort of thing. You know, he is there, he is the man. Anyway, I better introduce him, haven't I, because on the show today I am so pleased once again to have back the one and only Mike Bond. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Barry. And I'm a little by that marvelous introduction. I think it far exceeds who I am, but I appreciate the praise.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's getting longer and longer as you add more strings to your bow.
I don't know whether it's just it's probably some kind of hunger for adventure. Because adventure just means new things. So,
right. Well, that's it. I mean, I was looking back to, and you're right, I think some of your early books were basically travel books, weren't they?
Well, my wife and I wrote several travel books as a way of financing trips to places. I think that was good. We were working for the Financial Times at the time, so we were very much traditional, hard-nosed journalists who never wasted a word. And that all of that has come into all of this crew that we're talking about tonight, right. My 13th novel. And all of that hard-nosed journalism, if you wish, we got it we probably were born with it, but the Financial Times, they would charge you 10 cents for every single opinion that you managed to insert in your writing, unless it was an opinion piece. So I don't mean to get off on it, but I love the Financial Times, and so I had to toss that in.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said, because as I sort of was going on about during the introduction, you are always ahead of the news. You know, in fact, I was just before I logged in, I was watching some YouTube stuff, and lo and behold, there's sort of talk about World War III and everything like that. And what happens is Mike Bond comes on the program with his book, and what's one of the things about the book? World War III. You see, this is the thing, Mike. You are. It's like you have your crystal ball going on there about what your bad it is. But when you, what sort of made you, you always sort of try and write stuff to make people think and have people say, which goes back to your paper stuff, obviously. What was a sort of one of the reasons you decided to write Crude? Where did the whole idea and that come from?
Well, it actually came strangely. It must have been, it was a long time ago when I was quite young. I think in the 1990s, perhaps 1992, 93, I was working on a oil and gas platform in the South China Sea. And these are monstrous cities on pillars above the water. And I was late at night. I was up from one of the high decks. I was looking south, trying to find the Southern Cross. And it suddenly occurred to me, my goodness, what if this were blown up?
Right.
And that's what started me on this whole process. And one of the things too that just firing back to a second to the Financial Times, what was important was brevity has a virtue, and brevity is when you know you're being led down the primrose path when prose is long and full of gobbledygook.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going off in a circle, and I apologize.
No, that's fine, because I totally understand what you're saying with that last statement. I mean, it's both wrong sort of thing, and of course, as you mentioned, your background of former intelligence agent, diplomat, and stuff like that, but CEO, expert on the actual world of crude, on the oil and the refineries and stuff like that. You are an expert on that, so who knows more about it than yourself?
Yeah, I suppose that does add quite a dimension to the book, because I believe, unlike some people, I think the energy business in itself is absolutely fascinating. And I got to the top of the energy business in my middle years, and as eventually CEO of an international energy company. But prior to that, I'd been an investment banker in that business, and I'd also been a diplomat in energy relationships between Russia and the West. So I have quite one of the things that is so important that when you write a thriller is you have to be completely accurate, and this can't be one word in that book that you don't personally know to be true. So that's why having an experience to back up the story, it makes it really, to my mind, Barry.
You're totally right. I mean, it's no use, right? We get too many of these people spouting off about stuff they don't know about, and lying all the time and everything like that these days. It's ridiculous. I get this from my family and friends in Europe all the time. People in America that thick, these people say this stuff and they believe it. It's like, I can tell you now, Mike, that there is a large portion of people in the rest of the world who no longer use the term USA, because, as they say, the states have not been united for some time.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I hold out hope, however, and that's one of the things that I come to in Crude, Barry, I come to that we do not need to attack each other. We are governed by being separated, by being divided. That's how the powers that be govern us. And I mean, I have no problems with a right wing rancher from Wyoming or from a left wing guy from Manhattan. I mean, what I mean is that we're all the same. And one of the things and I touch on this in Crude, that I used to think that someday maybe the powers that be would install a small chip in the back of our skulls that would manage how we live and what we do and what we obey.
Right.
I realize it's already there. It's the media.
Yep.
And the media has made us reflexively act. You know, where there's a horrible war going on, which is totally unnecessary, illegal, and probably will kill us all, and nobody pays attention.
People don't. I sort of see people and what about such and such? Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean about that? Do you not know what's going on? Do you not know what's, you know, what's going on in the rest of the world? I mean, America. I know, not all Americans, obviously, but a lot of Americans really don't know what goes on outside America. Let alone ask them what's there. I mean, you know, the lack of geographical knowledge is farcical. Yeah.
Well, what I'm bringing out in crude is that whether it's America or any other country, the entire world right now, I have to say that, as a long-term nuclear war analyst, I have to say that we are on the very precipice of nuclear war. And one of the reasons I write crude is to explain why and how we got here.
Okay.
And what we must do in order to survive. The book is dedicated to all the children, that they may survive and that the earth may survive, because really that's what the game is right now.
Oh, cracky, yeah. I mean, people say, I talk to people, you're sort of worried about saying, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about what's going to be left for my children and my grandchildren and stuff like that.
Yep, absolutely. I'm sorry, please go ahead.
I just say it's just whether we have gone too far down a pathway, whether we are too easily swayed by, somebody said to me last week when I took the dog down the bar, they're saying about TikTok. I said, the nearest I come to TikTok is the crocodile in Peter Pan.
wonderful. Yeah,
it happened the weekend. The woman who JK Rowling, right, her son 2 weekends ago, I think it was out, and some lady got attacked in the street, and I think it might well have been London, but it could have been anywhere these days. And she got attacked in the street. He went to her aid and was asking people to help, and all they did was get their phones out and start filming.
No kidding. Oh my gosh. That's
I've heard it with, I've seen it, you know, with police and that. It's police asking for help and stuff like that. All these people do is get their phones out because, this is for TikTok. Oh, this is my 2 seconds of fame, you know, sort of thing. And I'm afraid that's what the world's become.
Well, I'm confused about such things. What I write is because, Not that I'm confused, that I worry about such things. And what you said now about this lack of empathy worldwide is certainly a matter of concern, which again is why I get back to crude. This book it's the subtitle, as we said, is is Ukraine Oil and Nuclear War, and it shows how all three are tied together, and it's an enormous malady on an international social scale. I mean, the people that are designing these bombs and making them so trigger ready, and the skies are full of these things, and bombers just waiting to go off, submarines off our coast, every country, every major belligerent in the world. And we've somehow given these homicidal maniacs control of all life on Earth. That's the scale I'm trying to reach in terms of understanding what's gone wrong.
Within crude, are you able to sort of come to a conclusion Yeah, without giving too much away. Have we gone too far?
That's a really good question. Excuse me. That's a really, really good question, and that's one of the things I try to answer in Crude, because what it does is it takes the trajectory of an attack on an oil tanker in the South China Sea to Wall Street and the battle to defend Russia among companies that know it well and don't back this horrible war in Ukraine, which is probably going to kill us all. It's become, like you said earlier, for which I thank you. You said that I have a way, perhaps, of seeing things before and writing about them before they happen. And it's amazing right now with the demission of the president and the sudden appearance of a new Democratic candidate for the presidency. Then all of the major former Democrats that are leaping the party. And I wrote about all that in Crude, and it was published a month and a half ago. But I've somehow been able to see right up through the end of this year, at which point I show also how it's possible to avoid the nuclear conflict, which is upcoming.
Who would you like to see sort of take up the mantle of leadership to avoid World War III? Is it like the world as a whole, or United Nations, or who might it be?
Well, in the case of the present situation, what happened, and I happened to be part of it, after the Soviet Union disintegrated, and we suddenly had a moment of peace and connection between the United States and Russia. And I was at that point a diplomat and over there, and also working as an investment banker. So I got to see it all happen in the big screen, not the little money, but the big money.
Yeah.
And who's buying half of Rosneft, which was the largest, one of the largest oil companies in the world. And, who's going to do that for us, that kind of thing. And so all that goes into Crude, too. But basically, what happened in 2014 was a coup that overthrew the legally elected government of Ukraine, which was pro-Russian, because Ukraine, before this war, was pro-Russian.
Right, I can't think. I was listening to something the other day, and earlier on this week, somebody was saying about Odessa or something like that. I can't think. But it used to be one of the biggest pro-Russian places there was, and now it's not, sort of thing. Yeah. It's all change.
Well, but in any case, the United States created the war out of nothing. But when after the wall came, the Berlin Wall came down, and we entered in Glasnost, the United States promised the Russians that we would not move NATO beyond Germany, that we would never set up missile sites on their borders, and we would never interfere in their elections and otherwise try to harm them commercially. And then we proceeded right after that to do that immediately. And there was this record of so many times the Russians would say to us at the UN, why are you doing this? We agreed we would be peaceful. And eventually now NATO is all the way to Russia's borders. There's U.S. missiles on Russia's borders. There's U.S. bioweapons labs. There's 12 of them.
One of the things that this war has shown is that the days of the tank are over. It's kids' toys shaped like birds now. It's all sort of joysticks and little kids' toys.
There's one thing I just would like to mention in terms of the war. It's just so tragic that 1 month after the war began, which again, you can believe the Russian point of view that they were tired of being surrounded. They've been invaded six times with losses of millions and millions of lives.
Yeah.
And they were, finally they acted, but 1 month after the war started, Russia and the Ukraine signed a peace treaty to stop it right then.
Right.
And was based on the earlier Minsk Accords. And when the Biden administration found out about it, they sent Boris Johnson, that character, to Kiev, and he said to Zelensky, no matter what they offer, don't sign anything. We want to fight. Boris Johnson isn't doing any fighting, and he said, but half a million Ukrainians have died because of him, and a million Russians.
Right.
So I don't know. But all of this is in crude. It's all in crude, and I tell you what's going to happen next at the end, and I explain how we can avoid nuclear war.
Oh, you do? That's what I was just about to ask. Do you come up with recommendations? And it sounds like you've got some answers there, perhaps.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, this is all we're acting as if this were a nonfiction book. But this is written as a thriller because, and it is a thriller according to the reviews, because we're facing the most dangerous moment in human history. And if that's not thrilling, I don't know what is. What a thriller is basically is put characters in a position of great danger and then either kill them off or get them out of it.
Right.
And that's what either what we do is either going to kill us all and kill all life on Earth,
right,
or we'll get beyond it.
Now I mean Crude's obviously out and doing really well. Have you got another one on the go at the moment, Mike?
I've got my America series.
Because you got three of the America books, wasn't it, if I remember?
Go to seven, and I'm only on this. I'm starting the fourth, which begins in Cambodia.
That's it. America, freedom, and revolution. Revolution.
Thank you, Barry. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. But anyway, just to mention briefly, Barry, the plot of Crude, when the platform in the South China Sea explodes. At the same time, the company owner is giving a talk on Wall Street about the necessity of stopping the Ukraine war before it leads to nuclear war. And as a result, he is then harassed by the U.S. government, the White House, and the media, and the markets. And they try to destroy his company. They try to destroy other assets. Part of it takes place inside the New York Times. Part of it takes place in Wyoming at a sheriff's office. It goes from the White House and New York to London, Paris, the Italian coast, Moscow, Mongolia, Indonesia, in Wuhan. I have a section based on my experience in Wuhan.
So you managed to do a few trips to do your due diligence then, did you?
Yeah, I've been fascinated for a long time by the question of and there's no doubt. I mean, just speaking legally and in reality, there's no doubt that COVID was created by Dr. Anthony Fauci in the National Institute of Health as a project for the CIA, and it was based in Wuhan. And I went there and talked to people myself and learned quite a bit about it. But everything in the book, as I said, from all these locations, Barry, that it's a place I've been and a place I know well. And the action that I tell you about in the book is an action that really happened almost always.
That's great. Has it surprised you, any of the response you've had from Crude, of sort of people's not believed what you put and now they do or anything like that?
No, it's funny. I mean, there's been an occasional person. I mean, people are so quick to respond without thinking this. I think there are two people that attacked me for being not in favor of continuing this ghastly war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But other than that, almost everyone is extremely praised. I mean, I've got a very, very high score on Amazon, mm-hmm. and also on Apple Books, and the booksellers that I talk to are delighted with sales. So, it's the important thing for me, not so much the sales, but spreading the word.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because I wonder, you know, with what's going on and everything, and the fact that you've already bought the books out, do you get asked to go on like TV documentaries or shows where they're sort of talking about the news at all? Because I think you'd be great with your experience about it.
Yeah, we're actually at the point of contacting a whole bunch. I've done a few TV shows. Did an earlier one this week in Louisiana, as a matter of fact. We're just kind of getting into it. I've been the war has, because of my past diplomacy and, yeah. and energy business connections, the war, just trying to stop the war, it takes a heck of a lot of time. And not that when it succeeds. I mean, basically, it might seem to be a political, but it's not. The choice of the next 4 years or 8 years is really one of human survival.
I mean, this is it. It's the survival of Earth, basically, going on without anybody seemingly doing anything to hold it back.
There's an enormous divergence between the two candidates, and unfortunately, Kamala Harris, for all her other potential, is completely the handmaiden of the American war machine. That's as was Biden. That's how we got in this horrendous position. And so, whereas with the other guy, as much as he may annoy the hell out of everybody, we had under his 4 years, we had no wars, no inflation, and we were not in a. We hadn't yet started the Ukraine war. And the U.S. started it, and now we're about to pay the price. I'm not the only guy saying that.
Diplomatic,
everybody knows that it's a tragic mistake.
It is. Well, Mike, it's been great chatting to you, as always. I always learn stuff, and I always look forward to chatting to you to improve my education, though, and as well, and always your books, such great stuff you write. But time is going, so what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so that you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you, your books, and of course your new book.
Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. And I thank you again for inviting me on your marvelous show. I think there's been more than 700 now, and that's just mind-boggling to me. You've spread a lot of good. The best way to get my books, any bookstore can order the paperback if they don't have it in stock. Some do, some don't. I'm trying to put together a big connection with Barnes & Noble, facilitate its entry into all the Barnes & Noble stores. But other than that, you can go to Kobo, you can go to Apple Books, you can go to Amazon, any of the ebook providers or of the paperback ebook online providers will have it and can send it to you.
Great. Mike, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you very much, Mary. I appreciate it. You take care, and hello to everybody out there.
Okay, thank you. Well, how about that? Always a pleasure to have Mike Bond as my guest on the show. And today was no exception. Always learning stuff, always, he's ahead of the curve, ahead of the news. He knows what's going on. He has his finger on the pulse, and even more so in this new thriller called Crude. What will it take to avoid World War III? What can we do to stop it? What do we do anything? We don't know. We don't know. But great book. Read it and learn. I think that's the thing. We can learn and take notice of what's going on. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows, first off between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern. I have Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week is, and I've just been doing it, what was it I was saying? I know what it is, countryside. And then, of course, from 6 to 7 p.m. we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s from around the world. And then next week I'll be back with two more guests. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in our morning. In the afternoon or in the evening too. Cheese up, up. Pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo. Tickety-boo, isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One love or two.